there is one thing that has apparently become clear. When you watched what happened at the end of last week, where the belligerent Senate Republicans were, whatever it was, attacking clean cars, attacking SNAP benefits at farmers markets, attacking the Minnesota Historical Society. They're making up these demands that are trying to hold up bills in the Senate. Meanwhile, the House Republicans have turned basically into a howler monkey exhibit. I'll share with you that a little bit later. But needless to say, the point is the same. Republicans traditionally do not like the public seeing how these bills get written, and traditionally like to wait till the very end of these special sessions to throw everything against the wall and say, you have to vote now. Most of the time, and what we have seen, whether that's Southwest Light Rail Line, whether that's, you know, one senator sneaking in and taking out language preventing internet companies from selling your children's internet history, you find Republicans will either go into these bills on their own at the last second, add wording, remove wording, try to push an agenda. It seems to be the case right now, and they're trying to do it with another issue. Ricardo Lopez is kind enough to join us, the Minnesota Reformer. There's a some maneuvering that happened today, and I want to bring him on in here to talk about that, get the latest on that, and then talk about this technique and how it is. It's to a point it's been shockingly effective for the Republicans. But at the same time, Dayton and Governor Walz, former Governor Dayton and Governor Walz, have actually been pretty keen on knowing what's coming down the line. Ricardo Lopez, thank you very much. I appreciate the time, my friend.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about what happened today. This Carla Bingham, this was something that was added to I believe it was the oil refineries?
On Friday there was the jobs bill came before the Senate floor for a vote, and she had been pushing this legislation since the start of the session. She had sponsored a measure that would have, been in favor of requiring that contract workers at the Marathon Refinery in St. Paul complete or graduate from apprenticeship programs similar to those of union workers. The issue here being safety. Marathon Refinery workers have been on strike over this issue for more than 3 months at this point, and I think there was a vote to reject an offer from ownership there. So, like I said, she had pushed this legislation since early this year, and on Friday she was able to tack it on as an amendment, and it received 50 votes in the Senate. You know, a large number of Republican senators voted in favor of it, and it was amended to the bill. So that's what happened on Friday. But then today, there was another vote held to move that bill back to the Finance Committee. And there were some vague assurances of things being added and removed. And so it sounds like that provision that had been successfully added on Friday would be changing now.
Do we know? I mean, obviously, it sounds like the Senate Finance Committee, which once again controlled by the Republicans, there when they started this, they basically they're trying to make it seem like this is not about policy, but because I think the first thing they said is we're only looking at the financial spreadsheets. But at the same time, it's clear they're trying to get seems to be an end around technique to, get this specific issue, possibly other issues, and once again try to either manipulate the system to where they can get some other concession or basically just get rid of stuff that, yes, was agreed to, but now that whether it's corporate lobbyists or internal Republican ideology that they say, no, maybe we shouldn't have that in there. Is this the only issue that the Finance Committee was looking at, or are there other issues as well that were coming before it that they were going to try to prune the branches?
Yeah, I mean, this was one of them. I think, there was talks of the a few other provisions in that bill that they're trying to figure out a way make sure that one of the things that does get added moving forward is broadband. And right now some projects are parked in the bonding bill, and it's still unclear if we're going to get a bonding bill from the House. So I think in the middle of all this sort of negotiating and wheeling and dealing, they're kind of preparing for the possibility that there isn't a bonding bill. So if that happens, they're trying to figure out where do we put these projects, right? Do we put them in the jobs bill? Do we put them in the commerce bill, right? So I mean, in one way or another, we are not yet sure, what the final deal will be, but. I think lawmakers are preparing for the prospect of, if these deals get made, they need to be put in some bill somewhere, and that might not be a bonding bill.
The Senate Finance Committee Chair is Julie Rosen. Has she been outspoken against this? And once again, I like the idea. You know, you're not saying it's pro-union. You just have to have safety training to be able to work at the Marathon plant, regardless if that goes to the union or goes through a, you know, a community college of some sort or an apprenticeship program. Right. Has Julie Rosen been very vocal against this idea?
So on Friday, you know, she, as well as State Senator Eric Pratt of Prior Lake, he's the chairman of the Jobs Committee, and also Senator Paul Gazelka, who's the majority leader, those three voted against the amendment. And I think that should tell you, you know, where they stand on that issue. And Gazelka did speak about it today in a brief, you know, availability with reporters. And, you know, like I said, you know, he said essentially that right now the caucus position is that they want to see the safety issues at the refinery studied. You know, and that's kind of, you know, legislative speak for let's kind of, you know, buy some time by studying the issue further, right? And I got a response from Senator Bingham to that, you know, comment that basically she said, you know, these issues don't need to be studied. The workers know the safety issues. And she said the amendment currently in the bill will make well-trained and skilled workers operate the refinery. So, you know, I think that that's what we can expect to see until the Finance Committee meets and takes up that language. We don't know specifically what that looks like. And so, you know, we're still kind of waiting to see what emerges there.
You're not saying this. I'm saying this. Sounds like it's either a case of do we have lobbyist money coming in or do we have the potential of lobbyist money coming in? But that's just me, because I think, you know, Carla Bingham's point is right. I mean, they know the safety issues exist there. This is just one way to deal with it. So the only reason you would be against the safety issues is if maybe either a corporate lobbyist or the company itself is like, no, we don't think this is a problem. So I think there might be a fishing expedition that didn't need to go to Alaska on this. Have you heard anything about what's going on in this committee in regards to, it sounds like they kind of were going to do a little bit of, was it a work session or something like that? They kind of shut down the cameras or something. They're kind of, I'm not quite sure what they were doing there, but I think they were pretty clear that a lot of people were watching what they were doing, and there seemed to be concerning the Republicans in the Senate about being watched on this. Have they made any movements on this specific issue?
You know, I haven't, you know, I was in some of these, you know, like I said, these avails with the legislative leader. So I didn't quite catch what they did. But my understanding is that they recessed and they are kind of working out that language at the moment. And that's kind of where the state of things are right now. Right. I mean, we had, you know, before they came into special session, all this stuff is happening out of public view. And here at the tail end with so few days left in the special session, these things will continue to happen and they'll come up right either in the Finance Committee. Or they might come up, you know, on the Senate floor. You know, there's just so many entry points for these final, you know, deals to be, you know, entered into once, you know, but once, you know, these bills come to the floor, then it becomes trickier. But, you know, I think, you know, like I said, there are many entry points for where this language can crop up. But for now, I think we can expect to see that later tonight in the Finance Committee.
Let's talk about the process. And we've seen this play out the last few years because the Republicans have clearly adopted a game plan. And to a point, somewhat successful, to the point, somewhat unsuccessful. I mean, you saw how Governor Dayton actually smacked back on Kirk Dowd on Southwest Light Rail, which, by the way, is being built as we speak right now in the Southwest metro area. But on some things, this does happen. There is a reluctance to have public hearings. We saw that earlier this year with Paul Gazelka and the police, you know, more police reform. He promised that and then very quickly said, okay, no, we're not going to do this in conference committees and they don't want it to see the light of day what's going on because they know that their stance is not going to be perceived very well publicly. They try to do as much as they can behind closed doors. I think, and the way I described it before we started talking, where you have the Senate Republicans trying to create kind of a, you know, a circus mentality with specific issues like clean cars or anti-SNAP benefits at farmers markets, that kind of tries to hide what's going on behind the scene. Meanwhile, the House Republicans are basically just screaming at the top of their lungs for the last few days. And you create this kind of, kind of unlistenable noise, which nothing really comes out. No real message comes out. They get to the conference committees, they pass bills, and then, once again, we have seen them have people go in and change bills that had been compromised on, removing language, adding language, basically lying straight to the people, and basically trying to run out of there, get the bill passed. I think that the Democrats are trying to counterpoint that. Melissa Hortman, I think, said the tax bill is the last bill we're going to take up. So unless you basically, you know, get the rest of these bills done, they're not going to go before the tax bill. And I know the Republicans want that. Also, I know Governor Walz, after, what I say, 8 years of this now, they're expecting last-minute shenanigans on this. Is there anything to make you believe that there isn't going to be a lot of this behind-the-scenes door, you know, behind the doors, you know, writing of these bills by Republicans and trying to sneak past stuff or remove stuff from bills at the last second and throwing everything at the Democrats, say, vote now? Do you feel that's going to probably be the same as you see this play out right now? Is that, do you think that's going down that route?
Well, I think, you know, in the end, you know, we got to remember that we have Democrats who control the House, and obviously, you know, Walz is the governor and he's a Democrat. So, you know, I think all three kind of, you know, parties here, the Republicans in the Senate, Democrats in the House and the governor don't necessarily expect major victories for themselves. Although I will point out that the Clean Car Rules currently is written the way, you know, the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency has formulated them will go ahead as planned. And that, you know, was something that Gazelka sort of brought up, you know, was asked about today. And I don't think people quite get that's a pretty, you know, big victory for Walz. I mean, essentially it appears as though Gazelka's capitulated on that. Because there won't be a delay in the implementation, and you know, just and this has been very sort of out there under the rulemaking process of the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, but those rules won't take into effect until 2024. So Gazelka said today, it sounds as though that's going to be made into an election issue, right? But whether or not, you know, voters will care that deeply about clean car emission standards and requiring more electric vehicles, you know, sort of that's kind of up in the air. So at least that's one issue where Walz can declare victory.
In think terms your company's of the, safe?
Oh, sorry about that. Go right ahead. Sorry about that.
Oh, no worries. You know, so that's one issue that the Walz, you know, administration can sort of declare victory on. And in terms of the tax bill, I mean, Hortman sort of had it right. I mean, she said, we're going to hold on to this bill until we are satisfied with what we see in the end, right? And obviously, that is the number one priority for Republicans. They don't want to see any tax increases, but they also want to see, you know, the payroll protection plan loans be, you know, forgivable without any state taxation. So that's a really big priority for Republicans. But just the same, you know, Republicans can hold on to the state government bill, right, until they're satisfied with what they see. So I don't think you'll necessarily see, you know, the same way that you had seen Republicans in the past sort of force Democrats vote on something they haven't seen or aren't happy with. I think you're going to see a very status quo outcome to this session.
I, by the way, thanks for the breaking news on the clean cars. I'd heard that Melissa Hortman had said that there was a compromise there. I was wondering if clean cars were there. I can't believe Bill Ingebrigtsen going to a fishing trip in Alaska on the first day of special session helped the Republican argument that clean cars needed to be in there. So it's interesting. I think Gazelka capitulating on that, that's a very interesting one. So thanks for that. One last thing I want to ask you about. Watching
sure.
the behavior of the House Republicans. One of the things I'm starting to become convinced of is Eric Mortensen, the representative who the former Republican representative from Shakopee, is, you know, who is on a very extreme far right. He was kind of part with that group. It sounds like he is part associated with that group that was there on the first day of special session talking about how they consider the Republicans caving with the Democrats if they work with them at all. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really starting to get the impression that as much as those people are bad-mouthing and don't like Eric Mortensen, they really seem to be somewhat afraid of his followers. And needless to say, I think a lot of what you're seeing, specifically the House Republicans, is political theater to try to appease them to make it look like they're not working with the Democrats. How far off base do you think I am on that?
Well, I mean, that's a pretty, you know, vocal, but I would say a very small kind of portion of you know, the conservative base. I mean, of course, you know, Gazelka was asked about, you know, those protests that were aiming, you know, taking aim at him on the first day of the special session. And essentially, you know, his point was, you know, I have been, you know, pushing against Walz's emergency power since day one. But, you know, I think Gazelka kind of, you know, lives in this factual reality, which is just, you know, as long as the Democrats control the House, they're going to back Walz. And so he can hold all the votes that he wants in the Senate. But until the House DFL, you know, goes against Walz, I mean, there's not much he can do. Right. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think the idea that Republicans can, you know, can essentially, you know, shut down negotiations and push the state to a brink of a government shutdown is not something that Republicans in the Senate are keen on doing, given what you know, how they have been viewed in terms of being culpable for the past government shutdowns, you know, back 10 years ago.
I'm going to post the story you have up right now. I'm presuming if we get an update either today or tomorrow on what's happened with that bill, you'll post something on Reformer.
Yeah, I'll be writing up sort of a write through of today's, you know, everything that happened today later for us tonight. So it'll be posted later.
And if you are not reading the Minnesota Reformer, if you're not reading Ricardo Lopez, you are just plain wrong. An excellent journalist and an absolute privilege to have you back. Ricardo, thank you very much. We'll post everything a little bit later on Spotlight, this interview as well. Thank you.
Great. Thanks so much.